Good evening and Merry Christmas to everyone. We are excited to have you out here tonight. And I know that the best singers are not in the room yet, but we want you to have the opportunity to sing too. So we're going to do number 132. This is a challenging one, but I know I got a group that can handle it here. So when we get down to the Glorias and Excelsis Deo, I know you can handle that and do a beautiful job of singing praise to the Lord. So we'll be the shepherds tonight and sing to them. So let's do the first verse, and we'll have a word of prayer, and then I think we'll be ready to begin with the children. 132, first verse.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains.
Isaac Burton, if he would, to open us in prayer this evening.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day that you've given us. I thank you for this Christmas season as we come to remember you, Emmanuel, God with us. And I pray that you would be with these children of all ages as they come on the stage today, that they come to glorify you, to sing your praises, and to share with us a little bit about your word and about your story of you coming to this earth. Lord, I thank you for this this building that we have to meet together, the privileges that we have in this nation, for all the blessings that you've given us, Lord, most importantly, your Son and the gift of salvation. And we pray that we would honor and glorify you with every day that we have here. In your Son's name, amen.
Amen. Okay, now we're going to turn it over to our preschoolers.
Thank you.
Wow, what a special group of young people. Let's give them another hand. That was such a good job. Okay, as they grab their seat, we're going to ask Stephen Batts, who's directing the Mountain Movers and Youth Alive group for the rest of the program. He's going to come and give us a little backstory on what's going to be going on tonight. So turn it over to Stephen Batts.
Good evening and welcome to Chris Mythbusters is what we're doing tonight. How many of you have ever seen the TV show Mythbusters? So y'all will understand the concept that they have something that we've either heard to be true or believed to be true, and they tested whether it is or not. We have two parts. The reason I want to say a few words tonight is we got two parts to our program tonight. We have a play that is going on, and as this these kids are learning some things about history and stuff that they never realized before. And then we kind of have a cut scene where we go to our Mythbusters, and they expand on those concepts a little bit, talk about them a little bit more. So I just wanted to kind of point that out to you, so you're like, what's this, and then this, and then this. We have two, and we may have some reenactments going on at this in between there as well, and hopefully a little bit of music. So without further ado, Chris Mythbusters.
Well, it's our pleasure, Miss Edwards.
Yeah, we thought you might need a little extra help this year since, well, you know.
I know. And bless
Ethan was supposed to be here and help us, but we don't know where he is.
I'm sure he'll be here soon.
I'll whip up some of my famous hot chocolate and bake some cookies while we wait on Ethan.
That's so sweet of you.
I'll be back in a jiff.
Okay, where is that Ethan? He said he'd be here.
Yeah, but you know how boys are.
Yeah, I'm afraid I do. They all have such commitment issues.
Hey, girls, did I hear somebody talking about hot chocolates and cookies?
Ethan, you're late.
Where have you been?
Yeah, well, about that. I've got something to tell you.
Hello.
Ethan, who is that?
Oh, that's what I wanted to tell you.
Oh, my God.
You have a little sister?
Yeah, I didn't until a few months ago.
I'm adopted.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's get started.
Let's start with the tree over here. Set it up. We'll start with the tree that we had to get down from the attic by ourselves.
Okay. Hey, Michelle, look. Mrs. Edward's tree looks a lot like ours.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
The first artificial tree was actually a tabletop feather tree that originated from Germany in the 19th century. The feathers were dyed green. And modern-day artificial trees were created in 1930 by the Addish Brush Company, the makers of toilet brushes.
That's nice, Michelle.
That's disgusting. Ethan, do you know you have a giant toilet bowl brush in your living room pretending to be a tree?
I don't even want to think about that.
Ooh, I kinda do.
No, I refuse to even think about that. Let's decorate something else that doesn't actually involve touching the tree.
Okay, well, here's a box that says manger scene on it.
Now that's more like it.
Here's the stable, the shepherds, the manger.
And here are the wise men. 1, 2, 3. All here.
There could have been more than 3 wise men, you know. Or maybe less.
What?
Yes, the Bible does not say that there were 3 wise men. Just that there are 3 gifts brought. We assume the rest.
Nice. Oh.
Hello, and welcome to Chris Mythbusters. We'll be taking a look at various aspects surrounding Christ's birth and separating the fact from the fiction.
Wait, so are we just going to look at the myths concerning Christ and his birth? Oh, man. I wanted to check out the one about the origin of artificial Christmas trees. Are they really giant toilet brushes?
Maybe some other time. What we want to investigate now is how many wise men there were.
Well, you have the song, We Three Kings.
I don't think that's a good source. As a matter of fact, that may be the cause for the confusion.
Yeah, well, there's traditional writings that say there were 3 wise men. They've even given them names. Gaspar, Balthasar, and Melchior.
Tradition, huh? We need more concrete evidence than that.
The best source we have would be the Bible. After all, it is the written history of Jesus and is the most documented, historically accurate book of that time period. The most accurate book ever, really.
Great. What does it say?
Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, a magi from the east had arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said, "Bethlehem of Judah, for this is what has been written by the prophet." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by a dream by God not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way.
Well, that doesn't say one way or the other. There could be two, or there could be 100.
Yeah, I don't think we can give a concrete answer on this one.
I think our answer to this one's inconclusive.
We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we traverse afar. Fields of...
Wait a minute. How many kings does that song say?
Three.
Really? Okay, count off. One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
This is wrong.
Yeah, someone's gotta go.
How do we decide who stays and who goes?
Okay, rock, paper, scissors.
Michelle, it isn't important how many wise men there were, so just sit there and be quiet, okay?
Now here's the baby Jesus. You know, with our nativity scene at home, we don't put the baby Jesus in the manger until Christmas Eve, the night before his birthday.
Yeah.
December 25th is perhaps not the day on which Jesus was born.
What?
I said.
We heard what you said, Michelle, but what do you mean?
Well, it's somewhat unlikely that shepherds would be keeping their sheep in late December near Bethlehem at night.
Michelle, don't.
What are you talking about, Michelle? Everybody knows that Jesus was born on December 25th. I mean, you mean we're celebrating on the wrong day?
Now, girls, don't get upset. I'm sure Michelle's mistaken, aren't you, Michelle?
Ethan, have you ever known me to be mistaken?
Good point.
According to this book, Chris Myth Busters, the most likely time for Jesus to be born is around April or May or even in late summer. That's when shepherds kept watch over their flocks.
Now we want to look at the myth that December 25th was the actual birthday of Jesus. Do we have any evidence that it was or wasn't on December 25th? I mean, they didn't have birth certificates back then, and the way he was born in a stable and all, it doesn't sound like there would be any official record of his actual birthday.
Well, history bears that out. Early church fathers picked the day that we celebrate Christmas since there weren't scriptural pointers to Jesus' birthday. Early Christian teachers suggested dates all over the calendar. Clement picked November 18th. Hippolytus figured Christ must have been born on a Wednesday. One scholar who lived around AD 243 placed Jesus' birth on March 28th.
And in Judea, it is cold and often rainy in December, so most likely the shepherds wouldn't have the sheep out in the pasture at night. They really would only have them out in the fields at night from the spring to the fall when it was nice and warm. They would find shelter for their sheep at night in colder weather.
So why did they pick December 25th?
It appears they picked a day that was the same as a Roman pagan holiday called Saturnalia. It could be because it was already a government holiday that people were celebrating.
So they already had the day off.
Yeah, maybe. Most likely they picked the day in effort to reach people with the gospel. After all, Saturnalia is a holiday celebrating the winter solstice and the days getting longer, meaning more sunlight.
And Jesus is the light of the world.
Right.
It's a scorcher today.
Yeah, but it's a dry heat.
I'm just glad I don't have to wear a wool coat like a sheep.
Me too.
Hey, after work, let's go for a swim.
Yeah, I brought my swimsuit.
I brought beach toys and my floaties.
Really? You wear floaties?
Really?
Hey, what's wrong with that?
Gloria.
Michelle, why does the whole world celebrate his birthday on the 25th then?
Lily, don't ask her any more questions, please.
Well, in 273 AD, some Christians decided to celebrate the birth of Christ on a day people already celebrated the beginning of winter.
What, you mean?
Yes, most likely not even a Christian holiday.
Oh no, that can't be. What are we going to do? We can't keep celebrating on the wrong day with the wrong amount of wise men.
Yeah, I've always believed these things about Christmas that maybe aren't true at all. I'm really bummed out.
Now, girls, don't overreact. Michelle is just, well, you know, a little out there.
No. I need to go somewhere and figure this thing out.
I'll go with you. I don't want to celebrate something that's not true.
Come on, Lily.
Yeah, let's go.
Are you happy now, Michelle? You just ruined Christmas for everybody.
What? Huh? I did?
Yeah, let's go home and see if Mom and Dad are home yet. And this is the last time I'm letting you tag along.
But what about Mrs.?
Come on.
I know the real Christmas story is here somewhere in the Bible.
Yeah, are you looking in the New Testament, Lily?
Of course.
Try Matthew or Mark.
No, it's Luke. I think I remember the Christmas story is in somewhere. It is, here it is, Luke 2.
Read it.
Okay. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed.
Skip on down.
Okay, verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judah, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem.
So far, so good.
All right, verse 5. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
Okay, great. At least we're sure that it happened in Bethlehem. His mother's name was Mary, and her husband's name was Joseph. Jesus was laid in a manger, and there was an innkeeper.
Innkeeper? Doesn't say anything about an innkeeper.
There's got to be an innkeeper. We always have an innkeeper in the Christmas pageants at church, and he has one line. He says, no room. You mean he's not in there?
Nope. It says, because there was no room for them in the inn, but it doesn't mention any innkeeper at all.
No innkeeper? That's just wrong. What other Christmas myth can we bust today?
The rest of it looks pretty much like we thought.
Are you sure? Let me read this time.
Okay, here. Start with verse 8.
And they were in the same country, countries abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone about around them, and they were sore afraid.
I love this next part.
And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Okay, let me read. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
What? Read that part about the heavenly host again.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying...
Stop. It says saying and not singing.
Yeah.
Didn't you always think that the angel sang glory to God in the highest?
Yeah, they always do in the Christmas pageant.
Apparently another myth.
Hey guys, what you doing?
We're exploring the myth of whether angels can or cannot sing.
I don't get it. Everybody knows they do. They sang to the shepherds who are watching their flocks by night.
Or did they? Where'd you get your information for that?
The Bible. And the song, you know, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Well, you better check your Bible again, unless you've got a weird version or something. What have you been reading, The Message?
Maybe he read it in the NIV, you know, the non-inspired version.
I thought it was the new, interesting version.
Ha ha, very funny. So I guess I assumed it said that. What does it actually say?
According to Luke 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'"
And for the record, that's from the New King James, and yes, all the other translations say the same thing.
Hmm. Sounds like it could be a technicality. So what are you doing here?
We're just testing to see if these angels really can sing.
I must say, they look pretty angelic. But what has been the results?
Pretty inconclusive. Can't get a peep out of them. Okay, girls, can you please sing for us?
No.
There you have it. I guess angels just can't sing.
I don't know how scientific this is, but I guess we'll roll with it.
Come and worship.
many myths does that make?
Well, there's the wise men thing. Is it three, less, or more? Then the December 25th thing. Is Jesus really born that day? No innkeeper, no singing angels.
Don't forget about the giant tulip brush thing.
Yeah, there's that. But it's the Bible story that doesn't line up with what we've always believed that worries me most.
True. I wonder if they're more a Christmas wonder. What else that brainiac Michelle can find to completely destroy our Christmas beliefs?
Speaking of Michelle, is she with you?
Ethan, no. We thought she was with you.
Yeah, you're her babysitter, but apparently not a very good one.
I know. I'm not used to having a little sister yet.
For real, I'll say.
You know, when my parents told me that I was getting another sibling, I was like, cool. But being the only child in the family has its benefits. But then I felt my mom was pregnant and she was going to have this little bundle of joy.
That would be sweet.
Instead, I got this kid, almost as big as I am, and she looks nothing like anybody in the family, and she sounds like a little Einstein.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And she's always spouting off useless information like she knows what she's talking about, and it's embarrassing. And, well, now that she's gone, I feel bad now that I don't feel bad about her being gone. Wait, did that just come out of my mouth?
Afraid so.
Oh, man.
First of all, Ethan, she's not gone.
Yeah, we'll find her. She couldn't have gone far.
Tell us what happened.
Well, after y'all left, me and Michelle left too. Only I got home and she wasn't there.
Yeah, you're a bad babysitter.
Thank you. I know that. But I can't find my little sister, okay?
Well, where was she when you last saw her?
Behind me.
Where behind you?
On Miss Edwards' front porch, I think.
Miss Edwards?
Miss Edwards.
Miss Edwards. Oh, no. We forgot about her, too.
Let's go back to her house first and explain what happened. Then we can look for Michelle.
Oh, man. I've lost my sister and forgot about a sweet little old lady. All right here at Christmas.
Shepherds would leave their sheep to see a
Michelle, there you are.
We've been looking all over for you.
Really? I was at Mrs. Edwards the entire time.
Hello, Mrs. Edwards. We're sorry we ran out on you like that.
Yeah, we got a little distracted.
You might say that.
It's my fault.
What?
Yeah, I'm the one that distracted everybody with my Christmas myths. I was just trying to be cool, to try and fit in, and then I ruined Christmas for everybody.
No, no, Michelle. Let's not stretch the truth. We've just been having a little talk about that, haven't we?
Yes, ma'am.
We've had a fine time talking about the distractions at Christmas. And how sometimes they can keep us from celebrating the birthday of Christ at Christmas.
What do you mean?
Michelle, why don't you tell them?
Okay. Well, Mrs. Edwards said that there are some facts about Christmas that nobody knows, and we should not get distracted by that.
So the truth about Christmas isn't written down anywhere?
I didn't say that.
I don't understand.
So where can we find the whole truth about Christmas?
Michelle, do you remember one of the verses we talked about?
Yeah, I like the one in Galatians 4.
Okay, I thought you remembered that one. Can you tell the others what we learned from it?
Yeah, it says, when the time has come, God sent his son to be born to redeem us so that we might be able to receive adoption to be sons of God. Adoption, like me.
Wow, that's great.
And that's one of the many truths we learned. We know for sure about Christmas.
I'm still confused. What does adoption have to do with Christmas?
Oh, everything. Why don't you tell them, Michelle?
Okay, I'll try. God the Father sent his son Jesus as a child in Bethlehem.
That's right.
And the child grew up to become a man. He wasn't just a man, though. He was God, too.
Good, Michelle.
And Jesus gave his life for us so that we can be saved. If we believe in him, we become sons of God, too. We can talk to him like he's our dad.
Very good, Michelle.
Awesome.
Yeah, now you've got two dads, Michelle. One on earth and one in heaven. And we share them both.
Travel from afar. It's about the
So we may never know if there were three wise men or 300.
Or an innkeeper.
Or exactly when Jesus was born.
Probably not.
There's a difference between knowing the facts and knowing the truth.
Very good, Michelle. You were listening.
Well, Michelle, that's pretty awesome for a kid.
Thanks, Ethan.
Now let's drink some hot chocolate and get back to decorating.
Hey, I think I'm gonna like having a sibling.
Me too.
So what have we learned today?
Well, we learned that December 25th was probably not the day of Jesus' birth, and that early Christians used the holiday for the winter solstice to celebrate the light of the world being born.
Okay, what else we got?
Well, we didn't learn much about the wise men, other than there may have been three, but there may have been even more or less. The number comes from tradition rather than facts.
How about them angels? Did y'all get them to sing?
No, I think they're a little shy.
Well then, what do we know?
Well, we know that Jesus was born over 2,000 years ago.
That his birth was prophesied hundreds and even thousands of years earlier.
What family he was going to be born into?
Even the exact town where he was to be born.
That he would be born of a virgin.
There's so many things about his birth and his life that were prophesied way before he ever came.
But it's more than just the facts about his birth. It's why he came.
He was the Son of God incarnate.
He came and lived a sinless life and then was crucified. He died to take the punishment for your sins, mine, and everyone who has ever lived. And that through faith and trust in him, we might have life in his name.
That's the reason to celebrate if I ever heard one.
That's the greatest story ever told.
We may not know if angels sang or just spoke,
but we do know that the Son of God came to redeem us. That has been
confirmed.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. You who say creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er their flocks by night. God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Great job. every one of you, busting those myths. Let's hear it again for them. Wow, good job. Wonderful job. Thank you all so much. I got one more myth I just wanted to mention. One more, I can't even hardly say that, Chris myth. One more I'm just going to touch on real quickly tonight, and this is that. The myth that God is like Santa Claus. Now, what does Santa Claus do? He checks the list, sees if you're naughty or nice, right? And that's how he decides whether or not you're going to be accepted with him and going to get what you really want. That's how the story goes anyway. But the Bible tells us that God's not like that. We can't be good enough to earn God's favor, no matter how good we are. We may be very well behaved as children, as adults, or as teenagers, but no matter how well behaved we may be, no matter how much we may help other people, we can never be good enough to be accepted with God. No, the Bible tells us that salvation is a gift. It's by grace. It's getting what we don't deserve. We can't earn God's favor. We can't earn acceptance with God because the Bible tells us, as we've heard tonight, we're all sinners. And you might think, well, I'm not as bad a sinner as those other people, or even that guy standing up there on the platform. And you may not be. But the point is that we all have sinned. We've all come short of God's glory, and therefore none of us deserve heaven. We can't be good enough. We can't be on God's nice list and receive salvation. Or rather, it's a gift. As we heard tonight, the Lord Jesus came, God in the flesh, and he gave his life. He died for our sins. He suffered the death that we deserve to die, that he might give us the life that we never could have deserved to have. And that's God's offer, a free gift. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. And if that siren is for you, and you're the one that might go into eternity, will you be with the Lord Jesus, or will you be separated from him for all eternity? The Bible says it's a gift. We must receive the Lord Jesus, the one who died for our sins and was buried and rose again, just as the Bible declares him to be. So, as you think about Christmas and the myth that's been busted tonight, don't forget that myth. God's not like Santa Claus. No, God offers freely salvation to anyone who will receive his Son, the Lord Jesus. And he promises if we will, he will change us. He'll make us a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something that's better than any Christmas gift you can ever receive anywhere. So we're going to have a word of prayer. After that, the ushers and some other men are going to be coming out and bringing treat bags for everyone. So don't leave without your treat bag. And then also, guys and girls, you're all going to get T-shirts from Mr. Stephen somewhere. He's going to be here. Don't leave without your T-shirt, all right? Okay, so let's give thanks for our time tonight. And then after you get your treat bag and your T-shirt, we're going to exit this room and take a right. And we're going to go down and we're going to have refreshments. And we hope that everybody can stay and share that with us as long as you can be here. We'd love to have you. Love to have you back. This Wednesday night, we're going to be going out Christmas caroling at 7 o'clock. And then on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, we'd love to have you here. We're having a Christmas Eve service from 5 to 5:45. They're little business cards size invitations. We'd love for you to pick one out. Pick one up on your way out. Maybe even if we have some ushers at the back, they could give everybody one of those as you leave. So thank you for being here. Let's pray, and then we'll let them come up and give out the treat bags. Lord, thank you so much for the boys and girls and young people that have worked so hard and shared with us tonight such a beautiful message. As they've said, the most wonderful story in the whole world, and we thank you that it's a true story. Father, we thank you for the adults who have worked with them and been diligent in sacrificing their own time and energy. Father, we thank you for all the folks that are out here tonight. Lord, what a blessing it is to gather together and think about the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he's not a myth. He is fact. He is true. In fact, he tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to you except through him. Father, we pray for any here tonight that have never received the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you that offer still stands. Thank you that with him comes peace and joy and hope and meaning and forgiveness and a relationship with you forever. So we commend our time now to you. Thank you for the refreshments. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here. Merry Christmas.